This is Your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Now we're going to talk about this year's International Ocean Film Festival. This year, you can watch all of the films online and virtually explore the rich marine ecosystems of the Galapagos, meet orcas in the chilling waters in the remote Arctic, and learn all about whales. Joining us is Anna Blanco, Executive Director of the International Ocean Film Festival. Hi, Anna. Welcome back to the show. Do we have Anna? Well, we are also joined by Katya Shirakov, producer of a beautiful film, Whale Wisdom, and founder of Wild Logic. It's a film company with a mission to bring powerful environmental messages to large audiences worldwide. Hi, Katya. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rose. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Katya, we're going to connect with Anna in just a minute. You know, we do a show every year about the International Ocean Film Festival, and listeners always call and say, I don't live in the area or I can't make it to the theater. How can I see the film? So this year, people can see all of the films online, which is great. I mean, it's horrible that the film festival had to go online because of COVID. But I'm so glad that people can actually watch the films online. Tell us a little bit about Whale Wisdom. It's such a beautiful film.
Thank you very much. So my partner and the principal cameraman of Whale Wisdom is Rick Rosenthal, who, by the way, can't join us this morning because 20 blue whales have appeared in the Santa Barbara Channel this morning.
Wow.
And he is out there to try and capture them with the rest of our crew. But
capture them on film.
Of course. Well, thank you for making that correction. Absolutely. To capture them on film. They're the biggest animal that has ever walked on our planet. That said, Whale Wisdom, we wanted to do a little bit of a different approach to the beautiful natural history films that have been made about many of the great whales. Rick has spent a lifetime filming them. We thought, look, can we get even inside their heads? There's lots of people that have told us about really sort of goosebump-inducing experiences that they've had with whales. We wanted to try and see, could we put this on film? Could we actually see something about what goes on in a whale's head and in their heart? And that was the genesis of our film, where we were, in fact, incredibly lucky to be able to follow a couple of individual animals. And imagine, these are whales. They're hard to follow at all, let alone one. And anyway, so our film is about a number of individual animals that we followed who, as far as we can see, have shown us that there's a lot more going on inside those very large heads and hearts.
As we learn in the film, we will find intelligence, capacity for emotion. Whales have loving families. They have rivalries. And they have songs. And I have to say, Katya, like so many people, you know, I'm dealing with the stress of COVID, family stress. It's a really hard time right now. And just watching your film, I felt like the stress was just kind of melting away. And I think we all need more of that right now.
Well, I can tell you that for me, the whale experiences that I have personally had have been, they felt like this honor, really, this honor that an animal so big, so different, in the case of the whales, the gray whales in Baja, they come to us for some mysterious reason that scientists haven't really agreed on. Those whales, which tourists go out to see, the mothers will approach a small boat, which has tourists in them, right next to the boat. They come, they stick their heads out, they push their babies right next to you. They want to be touched. We have no idea why they do this. But yes, in terms of a different way to look at the world for a moment during COVID, wow. I mean, I got to play tourist in the film. So I actually was that person that was touching the whale. And again, they're inviting that touch. It breaks all the rules that we know about wild animals, and please don't try this with grizzly bears or any other wild animals. But in this case, it's magic. It's magic.
Well, lucky you. I mean, what a gorgeous film. Katia Shirakov is producer of Whale Wisdom and founder of Wild Logic, a film company with a mission to bring powerful environmental messages to large audiences worldwide. You can watch Whale Wisdom through this weekend, and you can watch it online as part of the International Ocean Film Festival. And now we are joined by Anna Blanco, executive director of the Ocean Film Fest. Hi, Anna. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us, Anna. I was just telling Katia that, you know, we have you on every year. Your festival is one of my favorites. And every year our listeners call in and say, I can't make it, or I live outside the area. How can I see the film? Well, because of COVID, it's unfortunate that we can't all meet in person, but the films are now all online for the first time.
That's correct, and it's been such an amazing, overwhelming, positive response because, you know, like you said, we were supposed to be hosting the festival in March earlier this year, and because of COVID, we were the first film festival to cancel in the Bay Area, and we only canceled a week prior to opening night. And we truly had no idea what was next, and we did have a weekend in person set aside for September, thinking we could do that, and here we are. In July, we started the online service, and it just was such an overwhelming positive experience because it enabled us to reach people around the world. And we started out with just 10 days, and last Friday we decided to extend it for another week because we were hearing from people that, people just are busy, and they wanted more time, and they loved the flexibility of being able to watch them 24/7 from their couch. And, you know, with their friends and family, and it just was such a wonderful new delivery method for us for getting these films in front of people.
Anna, I'm so glad that you are still doing the festival because I was so sad to learn that the Green Film Festival had to shut down, and, you know, it's just so hard to make it right now. So how are you all able to bring this festival online?
You know, it's interesting. I was so sad as well. Executive director of the Green Film Festival is a very good friend of mine. And it was really sad when they had to shut down. But I get it. I understand it. I mean, we did, right after we canceled in March, we provided four opportunities in the last 4 months for people to watch the films online for free. And just kind of a test program to see what the response was going to be. We did it for World Ocean Day. June 8th, we did it for Earth Day in April. We provided the programs to all the kids that were supposed to come to the festival for free to see the films. We put them online, we gave them to the teachers and said, you know, here, you have them, show them, share them. And the kids ended up watching them at home with their families, which is even greater. So the growth is just exponential. And the way we were able to do it, I have an amazing team of volunteers who are completely passionate and dedicated to what we are doing. And, you know, we had some grantors step up who believe in our mission and decided, you know, we want to keep you guys afloat. We want you to keep going. And so we got some influx of grant money sooner than we would have otherwise in order to help us stay afloat. So, and individual donors came in as well. I think it's just a testament to how much people love the films, appreciate the messages, because if you don't have films to tell stories about some of the wildlife and the ecosystems and the challenges that the ocean is facing, people won't know about it.
Right. And what an amazing time, Anna. I was just telling Katia, as so many of us are stressed about COVID, I think the festival couldn't have come at a better time because it really does allow you to escape and spend time underwater. And it's just, it's such an amazing experience, even when you're watching films about the challenges that we face. It's still an incredible experience.
It is, because one thing I always like to remind people is that it's like going around the world. Right. We've got films from 15 different countries that showcase what's happening in different parts of the world, and many of them are solution-based films. You know, there's one from Madagascar called Tahiri Honko about how they're planting more mangrove trees and how successful that's been for them. So to be able to escape to another part of the world and learn what some other culture or country is doing
with regards to the ocean is truly magnificent. It's just fun, and it's healing. You know, the ocean heals us to begin with just by standing next to it or being in it. So being able to watch them online also has that positive effect.
A couple other films that you can see, Sea of Shadows. We did a show about that earlier this year. It details the dwindling number of vaquitas in Mexican waters. Documentary Under Thin Ice chronicles Canadian extreme divers. There's a film about the Galapagos. I mean, just so many incredible films. Katia, your film company, Wild Logic, brings environmental messages to audiences around the globe. Can you talk about just the changes that you've seen in the quality of the films and the power that they have to teach people about what's going on with our oceans, but to also take action?
So we, these days, let's say in the last few years, we have an incredibly powerful number of tools that have come to our disposal for making films, beautiful films, and bringing the immediacy of the experience of the ocean to our viewers. That said, and I don't know what the rate is, the ocean continues to be in serious trouble, and so it's that much harder to find the animals, even though we have these great tools to do that with. Our philosophy for filmmaking has been to make people fall in love with the animals that we show first. We don't hit people with a really depressing environmental message, because and there's a place for those sorts of films, but I personally believe that you have to love something first and then be persuaded to take care of it. And so in the case of our film, our most recent film, Whale Wisdom, we took that even a step further and not only showed beautiful images of whales doing what whales do, but try to get inside their heads. And I think we succeeded in that. We see I believe we've succeeded because of the reaction that we've gotten from audiences worldwide. We want to build a connection, even a gut connection, between the person watching and what they're seeing on screen, because that way they might be even more motivated to take action, rather than screaming and telling them that, you know, we're all in serious trouble, which is also true. And just as one proof of what I believe is our success is that our film was shown in Japan recently, and the Japanese public broadcaster had the largest audience they've ever had of youth viewers for Whale Wisdom.
Amazing.
It's amazing, and this is a country that's resumed commercial whaling. So when those young people grow up and get old enough to vote, we hope that they'll be somewhat inspired by our film to take action and say, we shouldn't be hunting these animals any longer.
Hmm. That's incredible. Katia, I think I heard you say that it's becoming harder to find animals. Is that right?
Yes. The ocean is in trouble. And so whereas 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when my partner Rick Rosenthal started working, you know, there were, especially in the ocean, open ocean, it was just easier to find the wildlife that you were intending to film. So, yes, some species are doing better, but plenty of other species are not. So that plus the other stresses of the large animals are experiencing from environmental causes and so on, it makes the actual process of finding the animal that you want to film very difficult, and it's already difficult work in the open ocean unless you're talking about animals near shore, and those are suffering in other ways. So, yeah, we all have to take as much care and as much action as we can to protect our oceans.
Right. And we've done a lot of shows about how the climate crisis is causing, forcing a lot of animals to move. So that's also a challenge for you.
Yes. And in some, and sure, there are also some stories of animals doing better.
Right.
Animals, the sea ice is melting. And I know that last week you had someone talking about polar bears and their suffering, but at the same time, or killer whales and some other species of Arctic whales are doing better, at least temporarily, because they have more access to food now that the ice is melting. So it's a complicated, it's not a black and white situation, but much more nuanced, much more complicated. But overall, I think we in California know some things, we all know some things we can do to help protect our oceans, like not throwing trash in streams that flow into the sea, and being careful about the seafood that we choose to buy and eat, and avoiding going to the Monterey Bay Aquarium seafood watch schedule, so we know what seafood is good to buy and what food we should avoid. So there are many really easy things that that we can do to do our part.
Katia Shirakov is producer of the beautiful documentary Whale Wisdom and founder of Wild Logic, a film company with a mission to bring environmental messages to audiences around the globe. Anna Blanco is executive director of the International Ocean Film Festival. This year, they are showing films from 15 different countries. It's all online. You can watch films. You can also check out Q&As and panel conversations through August 16th, right, Anna?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so you can find the link at yourcallradio.org. Watch the film whenever you want and through August 16th. Anna, what else really strikes you about the films that were submitted this year? Because you've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah, this is my 10th film festival, so it's my 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. You know, I just love it. It's just, it's such an amazing opportunity to connect people to the ocean and connect people who are passionate to the ocean, for the ocean, to connect them together so that you can meet other like-minded people when you come to the festival. And the Q&As are doing that really well online this year. So to be able to capture a lot of people who are available and who are at home but who want to talk about their film is really remarkable. And the way it's working is we are scheduling them to be a live stream Q&A that people can log into and ask their questions live. But they're recorded. They're available immediately after. They're free. And they will live on our website once after the festival is over, after August 16th. So, for example, for Katia's film, we had a conversation with Carl Safina, you know, famous author, ecologist. He chimed in and did a wonderful Q&A with Rick and Katia. Yesterday, I had the privilege of speaking with Sylvia Earle, Dr. Sylvia Earle herself, on a film called Diving Deep, The Life and Times of Mike DeGree, which was directed by his wife, Mimi DeGree. And so the Q&As are just giving us a great opportunity to speak to people around the world. One that I would highly recommend, and it relates to your polar bear conversation last week that I did listen to with Polar Bear International, is the film by a local wildlife photographer, Amos Nahum. And I'm not sure if you've met him or not, but he's Israeli, and the film is called A Picture of His Life. And it's his quest to go to the Canadian Arctic to capture a polar bear, but not just a photo of a polar bear, but a polar bear swimming in the water. And of course, the water's freezing. It takes forever to get there. Just the challenges and the joy of that trip, and what they learned in terms of climate change and global warming. We had the opportunity yesterday to speak to Amos, who's local, very well known for his still photography of big animals, including blue whales, and his director, who was coming in from Tel Aviv, and just to hear their story about making that particular film and how impactful it's been is just remarkable. I was in awe of that, you know, to be able to do that, which is what this virtual film festival has enabled us to do.
Hmm. Well, again, you can watch all of these films online through August 16th. Katia, how do you think COVID is going to affect filmmaking and your ability to bring us these documentaries. I mean, right now, Rick, your partner, was supposed to come on the show with us, but he is finding some blue whales in Santa Barbara. So how is COVID going to affect your ability to travel to film these beautiful animals?
Well, it means that we will have to rely on our partners, as long as we are unable to travel widely. And right now, Americans are not allowed to fly to Europe, for example, because our COVID cases are too high. We'll be relying on our partners and our network of fellow filmmakers that are based around the world. We have, as an example, we have a program that we're developing for PBS called Planet California, which is going to include Baja as well. So stay tuned. Next year, it'll be out on PBS. And we are including Baja as well as Alta California. And now we're relying on our cameraman colleague based in La Paz to be doing the Baja shooting. So that's just an example of our particular production. For future productions as well, we are looking to people that we've worked with in the past who are based in the particular countries where we need to be shooting and working with them. In some ways, it'll be a way to reduce our reliance on Anglo-Saxon wildlife filmmakers, which are a majority for whatever reason, historically. And it might be an opportunity to bring along cameramen and naturalists who have had a bit of a more difficult time in the past breaking through this sort of old boys and girls club of filmmakers. So we will be able to continue working, and I think it might actually provide some opportunities for new talent in parts of the world where the natural history filmmaking culture isn't as developed as it is in the States and the UK.
Anna, what would you add?
I would add that, you know, this COVID is really challenging for all of us, but I think, like Katya said, a lot of filmmakers are finding ways to engage with partners and be able to produce films otherwise. We haven't really seen any slowdown in the production. We're still getting films coming in for next year. We're hopeful that we can do something in March in person. Who knows? But we're still seeing amazing films coming in. You know, I'm sure there will be some slowdown in production value or production times for people to actually make their films, but we're still seeing quite a few come in, and that's exciting and that's interesting because we're hopeful that we can do something next March 2021.
And Anna, to Katya's point about who actually is making the film, the people behind the camera, the production staff, are you finding that there is more diversity? How has that changed over the years? You know, now that there's a reckoning happening in almost every industry, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, that's a really good question, Rose, and I'm so glad you brought it up. One thing we like to track, for example, in terms of diversity is women and how many female directors are submitting films. And it's not going up as much as I would have hoped over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. This year, a quarter of the films were directed by female directors. And so I would have thought, you know, that we would be seeing more women. What we're not getting any films on, and I hope, you know, the message is out there, is we would love to get more environmental justice films. And sometimes when cultural events take place, like what we've seen with Black Lives Matter, there's something that's going to trigger a filmmaker to say, you know, we need to have this conversation and I need to put it on film. And there's a lot of conversation about environmental justice. I would love to show films about how the environment is impacting certain populations in our country and around the world. But usually what happens, and we see this all the time, is like there's some event that occurs, and then it'll take about 2 to 3 years for a film to be produced about a particular subject. And we see that all the time. So it may take a while for a film to be made, but there will be something on environmental justice in the coming years, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, let's hope. I mean, there's so many amazing stories to tell. Katya, do you want to add something? We have just about 30 seconds.
Yes, I'm going to Anna's point. It's true, there are a few wildlife camera women and directors, but most of the bosses are women. So I think you need to see the balance in a bigger environment. The people who say, yes, we're going to put the money in, tend to be women. I'm a producer. I control the money. So the guys don't go out there to film unless we have the money to, unless we agree. So I think in a bigger picture, there is more gender balance in our industry. And that's all I have to say on that.
Katia Shirakov is producer of the beautiful documentary Whale Wisdom and founder of Wild Logic. It's a film company with a mission to bring environmental messages to large audiences around the globe. Katia, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for making this beautiful film.
Thank you for having me.
Anna Blanco is executive director of the International Ocean Film Festival. You can see films from 15 different countries. You can watch Q&As and also watch shorts. It's all online this year. You can watch the films through August 16th. That is this Sunday. Find the link at yourcallradio.org. Anna, as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Rose, thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks to Malihe Razazan for producing today's show. Thanks to Kevin Vance for keeping our studio running. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.